Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 96 of the Picus Riley podcast. I am one of your hosts, as always, Emelson, and joining me is my co-host, Anomaly.
Hello.
And this week, in addition to just general news for the week, which we've actually got quite a bit of, we're going to be talking about the acquisition methods for tier sets and for the double legendaries, both of which we've gotten some major news about this week. But before we get into those, what's happened this week, Anom?
So we had a couple of interesting tidbits. First up, a big one. One of the senior, game designers, Johnny Cash, not the singer, but the designer, is leaving Blizzard. Johnny Cash has been around for, this is right up his bio, but he's been around for a while since basically Cataclysm, Mists of Pandaria timeframe, right? And basically he led or was a leader of a lot of really interesting aspects of WoW over the past couple of years. So namely a lot of the pep battles stuff that he was sort of played a big role in sort of getting off the ground, along with a lot of the like Garrison, Class Hall and Artifact stuff, right? So those sort of worlds and things like that. So he did a lot of work there. But basically a long time developer. I mean, since 2010, so that's what, 12 years almost? 11 years or so. Through a solid part of WoW's WoW's history. So no, he seemed like a good dude. I always knew him as sort of the pep battle guy, because that's sort of when I first heard his name and what he was around. He did a lot around even some of the outdoor zones of like Argus and Stormsong Valley and stuff like that. So, another sort of, senior person leaving, which happens. It's funny that I feel like if everybody didn't, if there wasn't so much leaving last summer, a lot of this stuff I don't think would be as big a news. But I mean, at this point, you sort of hear about just longtime developers sort of moving on, which I think ends up happening anyway. It's just, Johnny was just a senior,
a little high.
Yeah. Slightly higher than what we typically see. So, it sucks to lose him, but hopefully he's going on to do something cool, be somewhere else. So, I mean, typically people, hate on garrisons, but as a feature at the start, was a really cool idea in WoD. Class halls sort of were the next iteration of that, which I think worked out really well. Those were super cool.
Class halls were great. I don't think I've ever heard anybody be like, yeah, class halls sucked or whatever. Class halls were a popular feature just across the board. The only people I think I ever heard complain about class halls were priests that complained about being budget paladins.
Yeah, that's fair. But no, it sucks to lose something like this in the game. But I mean, to be fair, this seems like a pretty good, if you're going to lose anybody, this seems like a decent time to lose someone. Just because we're sort of, for all intents and purposes, 9.2 pretty much wrapped up. The base features of 10.0 probably sort of directionally are in place. And then it's sort of iterating. So yeah, sucks to see him go move on, but hopefully he's doing something cool. So So that was, one of the big things last week. The other thing that came out last week was that Blizzard basically posted raid testing for the next 2 weeks, very early on. So this was something I think they posted on Monday or Tuesday of last week, and basically laid out testing for this week, which occurred Thursday and Friday. And then also for next Friday, the final two mythic bosses get tested next Friday. Right? Because
Did Disogna Mythic get tested? I don't think it did.
No. So there's one more.
I think there's still two more. So what happened? Okay. There's a couple things. First off, they normally post testing a day or two before. So you get the announcement Wednesday or Thursday, and then testing will be Friday. And so what they're doing differently here is posting it well in advance with the notice that things are subject to change. These bosses may not actually be ready to test. And in some cases, they basically weren't. Prototype Pantheon had a lot of bugs. Lyhuvum was tested on Thursday this week and was actually scheduled to be tested last week or the week before last. but was broken, and so they didn't test it. So they tested it on Mythic this week, which is why there's three bosses tested this week instead of the usual two. This coming week, they're going to be testing Anduin Wrynn and Helandris the Reclaimer, aka the Spiderbot boss.
Yep.
And I think they still have to test Dissogna and actually, like, they tested Skolex already.
Yeah, because there was three bosses last week. There was supposed to be four mythic bosses last week. They only tested three because of Lahelum.
Dissogna was tested last week, and I just missed it.
It could have been. Yeah.
There's one other note I want to add on this. So normally these boss tests last an hour, and then, you know, the bosses despawned, everything's unavailable, you can't enter the instance, and everybody in the instance gets teleported out. Well, there's currently a bug that some people have been abusing, that the bosses stick around after the testing period is ended, and if you are logged out when the like forced teleport out of the instance happens, you don't get teleported out. So you can have your whole raid team stay in there, just log out, and then, you know, do extra testing, which for some of these bosses, I don't think matters, because like on Friday, it was Vigilant Guardian, the first boss of the instance, and Prototype that was buggy enough that I don't think it was actually valuable. But then this coming week, there's going to be Anduin Wrynn, which if Anduin Wrynn is a buggy fight, I will be shocked. It's such a major character and a major fight in the instance that this definitely feels like something they're going to get right. So if it, I think they may actually get this fixed. I also know that in the past, people have been actually banned on live for abusing testing bugs like this on PTR. So it's possible that that will happen. But
We'll see. And I did look back real quick. Dissogna and Skolex were both tested the 6th. Okay. And then Zymox was the only boss tested the 7th with Lithium being scratched and basically tested this week. So I'm just going to call them that.
So that means that this coming week, they will have tested the first 8 bosses of the instance. And if they stick to their guns and do not test the last 3 bosses at all, that means that that will be the conclusion of mythic testing. Which actually they're testing all of normal this coming weekend. So
this weekend,
if you're listening to this on a Monday or Tuesday, this weekend, they're testing normal on PTR. So if you want to do that, you can just hop on and try and find a group. I don't know how many groups there will be, but you know, you can give it a shot. You only need 10 people for that.
So. Yeah. I might actually try and put something together this weekend, at least maybe with my guild or maybe some folks in Peak, just to see if we can see the bosses at least on normal mode. It's not the best place to test things, but at least to get familiar with like areas and what the boss looks like, major abilities, right? It's always helpful. So at that point then, right, testing done last week of January, essentially that means, or I guess the second to last week of January, I mean, an end of February patch release seems reasonable, right?
How long do they usually have between the end of mythic testing and release of the patch?
I think typically it's actually shorter. It's about 2 to 3 weeks normally.
I'm kind of wondering if we're going to get an early February patch release. They also, I don't know if this is on our show notes, they posted about tier 6 releasing in Classic, didn't they?
Yeah, I didn't put any TBC stuff on the show notes, but yeah, that was also something that occurred this week. Black Temple and Hyjal both came out this week on TBC Classic. Yeah, they released. Yeah.
No way they released.
What?
Absolutely no way they released, because we're still adding. So Warcraft Logs is still adding support for Tier 6, and there's no.
I thought it opened up this week. Am I thinking of something crazy?
PTR came back up.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. I'm like 99% sure that it's not out yet, because I was just working on fixing something with Shade of a Comma.
Gotcha. You're right. Launches January 27th. Correct. Okay.
Okay. So I do think that they're going to want to not launch both of those at the same time. Not that I think they could realistically launch 9.2 January 27th.
Yeah.
But I could see an early February, like second week of February patch release, That would put the first like heroic week would be the end of February and mythic would be the beginning of March.
Interesting. Yeah, which would, I mean, which wouldn't be a bad release date. Because then, I mean, to be fair, like if you, we start thinking about like timing of all this, right? So like the next, the other big thing that people are, I know we didn't put this in the notes, we can touch on it briefly here about 10.0, right? And some of the announcements for that stuff. And that they basically, you would have, you think you, if you remember, they were targeting to have BlizzCon online in February. And so they were gearing up for a bunch of release, probably gearing up for a bunch of releases across all their games, but WoW more than likely being one of them. So the idea would be is if they do like a early, like an early to mid February release of this patch, early March do both Mythic plus a 10.0 announcement. And then basically we have a year, right, from that announcement to probably getting 10.0 release. So that would probably be their goal, right? Yeah, that probably lines up with the fact that 9.2, I think everybody's on board that it's the final patch, like the final major patch for this expansion. So
I'm still on like the 9.2.5 train. I want a 9.2.5 with like a Night Fae raid or something. Just like a little three boss raid to tide us over. Doesn't need to be anything crazy. Just like have Zymox show up a third time and give us some no, random fights. I don't care.
They should get, what was the, we should just get Unat back from.
That would actually be cool. No. That would be super cool if they just re, like, up, they scaled up Shrine of Storms, whatever that was called.
Crucible Storms.
I didn't really, like, I progressed the first boss of that a little bit, but my guild, my team at the time was not up to that point that we could actually do those bosses. We are now. I would be really excited to actually get to go in and do those. That would be so cool.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. It would be cool to see, but yeah, no. So, I mean, I think, yeah, just in terms of patch release, I think we're right on track probably for now. At first I was like late February seems like it shouldn't be possible, but I mean, they put also this week, which we'll talk, I guess we can sort of transition to, they put a bunch of like the outdoor, like rep stuff in place too. So basically fleshed out like the Enlightened, which is the new reputation, fleshed out that along with sort of, yeah, listing out the raid testing. So a bunch of stuff came out on the rep vendor. You know, your typical stuff is there, like contracts are there, the next level of crafter's mark to make the next level of, or next item level versions of things is all on there. Couple of mounts. And then the big thing that I was excited for was that the Eternal Augment rune is out, which just means I can basically start to dump all my augment runes onto the auction house now and basically make that 50 or whatever it'll end up be, 50K gold to get the Eternal one at a certain point. So,
yeah. If you're doing mission table stuff now, honest, like in Legion, the Legion augment ring was great and well worth the money. BFA, we didn't get an unlimited augment ring, did we? Or was it from like the 8.3 vendor that I never finished getting?
We did get one. There's been one, but it was one of the 8.3 vendors, I'm pretty sure.
That one was also worthwhile because augment runes were expensive. Augment runes now, if you're doing the mission table, are basically free.
Oh, yeah.
You can get like 40 a week from your mission table. And there are definitely weeks that you're going to go through 40. But
not now. Like I use them on Sylvanas, right?
Using them on just like every, I used an augment rune on Terror Group because why not?
Yeah. Yeah. So, excuse me. So, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I think I don't know how much this one would be used just because, like, I guess, yeah, you're right. The mission table does give you a ton. So, I think I try and sell like 100 every other week at this point, just because I end up at like 400 augment runes. I'm like, I need the bag space. I might as well just put these on the auction house.
Asked somebody in our guild to send me 500 Phantom Fire potions to just have around. I ended up shipping a bunch of them to alts because that takes up a lot of bag space.
No, I can imagine it. Jesus, 500. Jesus.
I'm still going through them. I'm almost through them. And I got these in like November.
Nice. Yeah, so that's the augment rune, the eternal augment rune. The other thing they put on the vendor looks to be what they're calling the vessel of profound possibility, which is it requires a bunch. It's an item that basically unlocks all your conduits at 272, or 278, I'm sorry. But it requires not only Exalted with the Enlightened, the new reputation, but also like a bunch of other requirements, like either Mythic Sepulcher cleared, like Gladiator achievement, Keystone Hero. So there's a bunch of there's a bunch of achievement requirements along with just the reputation requirement. But it looks like this may be an item that they're using for like alts, right? Where like this will let you potentially pass on to alts. Right now it's not set up as a BOA item. There was some thinking that it might be. Or to be fair, it lets you flesh out all your conduits on your other specs, right?
Yeah.
So
I think it's kind of like, are they planning for us to get our conduits other ways before we can get this? Or are we just going to be stuck waiting?
I think that
that's cutting edge to get this.
No, I mean, I haven't gone to look through the loot tables yet for the raid, but I'm almost positive, like you'd assume that they put conduits like they have for the past two raids in the raid.
They have not put the good brewmaster conduit, the one good brewmaster conduit for any raid boss. Actually, I take that back. When they went back into Castle Nathria and added potency conduits to the loot tables, it got added to Shriekwing. But it was not originally in Castle Nathria.
Gotcha.
Not that technical domination at all. You have to get it from Gorthia or from Torghast Adamant Vaults.
Interesting. Yeah, because I haven't seen a new like Deathbound Shard equivalent type item, right? So yeah.
Which I mean, if this stays as is, what it will end up being is that, you know, Raiders will hit Exalted and Raiders like outside of the world first, obviously, because there's no way they can hit Exalted before the world first race. But you know, regular just CE Raiders will be getting Exalted and then getting their plus 20 achievements to get this so that you have your 278 conduits for Mythic Jailer progression.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Well, I guess we'll see. But because this is actually going to be something that probably feeds into the double legendary conversation. So I don't want to go too far down this until we get to it. But
yeah,
I would almost assume there is a second way to get these conduits outside of just doing Xerath Mortis, right? And like getting to Exalted or getting to some sort of rep level. It just seems like a huge mess up on Blizzard's part to like do it this way after like everything they did in 915, like to then basically make the exact same sort of mistake about like putting required things on a, we'll say like a large grind or like a unreasonable grind where you get it after you really, like that's always the issue here is like you get this item after you completed most of what you need to do for it. You get the item after you completed the content you'd use the item for. It's the same reason like MOP, the legendary cloak you got at the start of Siege of Orgrimmar progression. Because like if they waited till killing like heroic at that point, Garrosh, you basically got a legendary cloak for nothing because like you didn't get a chance to use it for anything important. So yeah. I would hope that they don't do it here, but
I almost feel like the requirement that they're putting here that you either get Gladiator or your Keystone Hero or Cutting Edge is put there so that people don't feel like they need to hit Exalted in order to get it for progression. Except that the presence of Gladiator and Keystone Hero, even assuming it requires all plus 20s, which is not currently how it's worded, but even if they changed it to be all plus 20s, doing all plus 20s is significantly easier than getting Cutting Edge and has no time gate. There are people that are like, there's a bunch of people in my guild that the first week of 9.1 or 9.1.5 when the teleports came out. It was, I don't know, whichever patch it was that the teleports came out. The first week, they went and got all their 20s done. They got all of their teleports.
Yeah.
Like, if it requires that you do all 20s, that requirement will be satisfied the first week. the second yeah. weekend at the most. So that's like that doesn't prevent Raiders from feeling like, oh, I need to have this for mythic progression, because you can satisfy this plus 20 requirement so easily. If you are raiding cutting edge, the PvP requirement is significantly harder, I would say, for a PvE primary player to get. If you are already a PvPer, like there are people at our guild that won't have to do plus 20s because they'll get Gladiator anyway. So they can just go for Glad and then not have to do the keys. But they're the kind of people who will do the keys anyway. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So I think, I mean, we'll remains to be seen exactly if this is just like a first cut of what they put on there, right? But it's an interesting choice. And hopefully it is more of an account wide item, right? Where it's just like you complete everything you need to complete on your main, which it at certain point you'd assume that you have like the top level conduits anyway, at least for the spec that you're maining, right? So in that case, it's not too useful, but it's more for like, all right, now my alt wants to catch up, or now like I've poured all this time into my main, can I transition my alt and be similarly or not too far behind, right? In those areas. So yeah, that was a big thing sort of discussed this week, the that sort of conduit piece. They also released also on the one of the vendors out there, there's a bunch of 246 item level gear that you can purchase. So another gear catch up, which is helpful. So they require a new like sandworm relic currency, which basically you get from killing rares in Xerath Mortis. So another way of like grabbing additional sort of catching up from a gear perspective by just doing Xerath Mortis on some alts. So
this gear is also significantly higher eye level relative to the raid than the Korthia gear was. Like the Korthia gear started at 200 and you had to dump relics into upgrading it. And you needed actually a very high amount of rep in order to upgrade it past like 220.
Right, yeah.
So you couldn't even hit mythic Nathria eye level without getting like revered with the Archivist Codex, which, let's be frank, you're not doing that on your trash alt that's not raiding. Like you're so this is significantly better from a gear catch-up standpoint because it doesn't currently at least have that rep requirement that you need to do on every character in order to upgrade the items. You just get them at 246. Which is on like it is better than heroic. Is it better than heroic? Yeah, it's better than heroic sanctum, worse than mythic.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be a solid catch up sort of gear piece. But yeah, basically squaring that heroic just below mythic item level going into Sepulcher. I'll ruin that word as we go through this.
I also want to real quick highlight the appearances for this. Because it's actually kind of neat. I don't know if this is shared with the raid or not. But check out these gear pieces. Like the cloth set is the leather set actually has some neat elements that we haven't seen. The metal set, I think, genuinely looks very good. This is like some kind of samurai vibe is what I'm getting from this. Just from the like shoulder plates and things. I like it quite a bit. And then the plate set is like
it feels like the mythic version of like the armor.
I'm getting a lot of Uldir vibes from it as well. Maybe it's just the shoulders, but like you take off the shoulders, like the helm is sick. Yeah, the helm giving you that like fire effect for your head, that's cool as hell.
Yeah.
But that's I'm definitely going to be seeking out a couple of pieces of this on characters that don't need it just for the transmog.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems pretty cool. Seems pretty cool. But yeah, so that's sort of the rep vendor, bunch of stuff out there. I don't know if they're, we also, on the rep vendor, we'll briefly mention there was the legendary power that lets it swap between any covenant, sort of part of that two-part legendary thing. We'll touch on that, I think, later in the episode. So cool. So then the final thing we'll sort of quickly move through these next two is just that Blizzard got basically put up a post just detailing some of the solo shuffle PvP stuff. Now I don't PvP much, but this is, of course, solo shuffle is basically the 3v3 arena mode where you can queue into it solo without a team, and you'll be matched up with other people who are solo, and you basically play like a round robin of like the combination of those six players that are playing all play a different 3v3, like, or play like you play together with all six of those people in some sort of capacity, right? Yeah. And basically the winner of those, like, I think it ends up being like six matches or something like that, whatever they said. The winner, if you win more than you lose, you get like points based on that. You get more honor based on that. So
yeah.
So they detailed out sort of a little bit more there, talking about like the deserter penalty, which will be basically hefty, right? In terms of like, if you leave one of these early, I think the initial one's 15 minutes. And then every time after that, it's an additional 5 minutes that doesn't reset. Like it resets, I think they're thinking about every 24 hours, right? So it's pretty hefty in terms of like, hey, you can, like if you leave early, like you'll get a little bit of a knock there. So gave a bunch of feedback there in terms of the solo shuffle stuff.
Yeah.
And then,
There's also the note about protection paladins in solo shuffle, which they gutted Word of Glory for paladins in PvP already. So I'm not entirely sure that this is still relevant. So they said when it comes to tanks in solo shuffle, protection paladins have a distinct advantage due to the potency of their off healing. Our current plan is to have protection paladins only match up against other protection paladins, while other tanks can square off against each other. Which, on the one hand, like, Brewmaster is so infinitely worse than protection paladin in arenas, it's just laughable. But at the same time, like, having bears and Brewmasters in the same queue is just like, bear is also wildly better than Brewmaster in arena of PvP. Don't queue into this as Brewmaster. Just don't.
Yeah. So that's, the interesting tank note there. Why would you queue PvP as tanks? Just annoying.
Protection Paladin was actually hilarious, though. Playing,
I can imagine with the healing. Yeah.
The talent that lets your WOGs do the bonus healing based on your target's HP. And just like, it's lay on hands. It's just lay on
hands. That's crazy. Power.
It's so good. I was playing that talent in raid this week, and it's so good. Like, you just log somebody and their health goes back to full. It's great.
That's hilarious. And along with this, Blizzard did also post their tournaments for the year, basically laid out the tournaments for the next year. So, or at least the upcoming one. So the Season 3 cups for the Arena World Championships are posted. They'll be basically, mid-March through early April for that month, over the course of a couple weekends. So if you're into the Arena World Championship, all that stuff's out there. They also mentioned the Mythic Dungeon Invitational, which will follow the same format as Season 2 with time trials, and then the teams get split up into those three groups with two teams progressing from each of those groups, which I think people really enjoyed. So that's coming back.
Time trials start March 30th, but the signups are open now. So if you want to sign up for it, you can go ahead and do that. But the trials themselves don't start until the end of March, which I guess puts an upper limit on when the patch could release. But I think that's a pretty weak upper limit, because if it didn't even release by March 30th, we'd be in a real bad spot.
Exactly. So that's there. The interesting, though, is that the Shadowlands Season 3 stuff is March 18th right now. So you'd almost assume that the patch would be, early, at the latest, early March, right? Mythic Dungeon Invitational's there. They also mentioned the Great Push is coming back for a weekend, that was over a couple weekends. So that'll be something that is also sort of played out. And then they also announced the Classic Arena Tournament. So for Burning Crusade Classic, they're going to run an arena tournament. Seems like only for a single weekend, again in February, but that'll be something fun. If you enjoyed the old school arenas back then, you can talk about that now with Burning Crusade stuff.
So. I'm really curious what the comps are going to look like. Like, is it just going to be SLSO, Warlocks, and Resto Druids, and Hunters just Viper Stinging people or whatever it was called?
Yeah, oh my god, right? Yes.
Yeah.
I will tell you, so when I used to I PvP'd Season 1 and Season 2 in BC as a druid, playing it, and I played primarily twos. I mean, I played druid warrior, which was sort of probably one of the best twos comps, only surpassed by hunter druid. And playing against hunters were literally, it's, I don't know if I've told this, it's the only time playing World of Warcraft that I've actually broken a peripheral in my off, like in my setup, where we played some hunter comp in like three matches in a row, lost every one of them, but it was like 30 minute losses. So it was like the inevitable, like Viper Sting will eventually drain my mana and then the hunter will auto shoot my, or auto shot my warrior to death, and then we will lose. And like, that's how it went, three matches in a row. And I literally after the third and I slammed and like shattered my mouse in like a bunch of pieces, which was not fun. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. But yeah, tons of, I probably druids. I mean, RMP probably still gets a little bit of play if it can be good. But yeah, tons of warlocks and druids, I'd say. So
yeah, like I have to wonder how much those were just pub stomp kind of comps versus, at least in threes, like in twos, it's a little different. But in threes, how much those were just pub stomp kind of comps versus actually playing something that really rewards coordination and control.
Yeah exactly. I mean, hunter druid was so easy. You Viper Sting and run away, and then eventually once the other healer's out of mana, you win. So dumb.
Yeah,
dumbest comp.
Yeah. I mean, there's it's come in Shadowlands, there's like a talent, a PvP talent for demon hunters that drains mana. And it's not nearly as good as Viper Sting was, but it still has been a deciding factor in a few matches that I've played where you just, you get it off, they lose a bunch of mana and you win the mana game and
yeah,
you win the match. But
yeah. God, Viper Sting, I was so annoyed. Sorry, we'll just move on because I'm just gonna get pissed off about the ability.
Yeah.
But why it was so crazy good. So so cool. So I think that's all for last week. It's funny, when I did the notes, I dropped a couple of like class change updates, realizing then that there wasn't really a ton this week in the patch for monks specifically. So I didn't see nothing. I mean, I didn't see anything for Windwalkers or Mistweavers. I'm assuming Brewmasters, nothing really changed from a either tier set, spell changes, anything like that this week. No.
I mean, the biggest change for Brewmaster this week is changes to other tanks.
Gotcha. Fair enough. So nothing really major. Blizzard did put out one of their big design blogs, or design posts that they've started to do this week. The only real key thing, I guess we didn't really talk about, or no, we talked about it last week. They basically highlighted again that Shards of Domination will be sort of disabled in certain content. So you don't have to worry about removing or moving those forward, into the new season or new patch. So it was the only big thing. So.
Yeah.
So I guess now on to the main topic, which I think we'll start with how tier sets are going to drop, some of the issues there, and then sort of pivot into legendaries as sort of a side topic.
So let's start with like the bosses that tier set tokens, well, not tokens, but tier set pieces drop from.
Not tokens.
I guess the first piece of news, there's no tokens. They did not do tokens. I don't know why. It's super dumb. They should give us tokens. This is a huge problem for classes that you only have one of instead of a class that you might play four of or three of. Like if you have three Boomkins in your raid or three Druids in your raid, they are going to get their tier sets done faster. Just because you're going to get more druid tier pieces, they're going to be able to trade those to each other to finish them off versus something like a rogue where you might only have one, or a warrior where you might only have one. And that sucks. Just give us tier set tokens. Like the fact that they go across four or five classes means that it evens that out, that effect out so much. Like you still might have three druids, but you might have, you know, it's if it's like druid, warlock, I don't remember the tier set tokens. If it's like druid, warlock, mage, priest, or whatever, like between all those, like maybe you have 10 people in your raid. And then your other tokens, again, like 6, 7, 8 people in your raid. It's going to be much closer than, you know, three druids being able to get tier pieces to drop for them and then trade those. Okay. So that's my spiel on tokens. Just give us tokens, please, for the love of God.
Yeah, I mean,
why they're so opposed to it.
And I'm wondering too how, because I can't remember the last time that we did drop not tokens but actual items. If at that time Blizzard was able to identify who was in the raid and drop the appropriate sets, because there were many times in that I remember in like Classic and BC. Where I think BC didn't drop tokens, they might have. But I know this happened in Classic where like tier set would drop, but it would drop for like a class we didn't have in the raid. Like we would get like maybe not hunter loot, but like druid loot and not have any druids in the raid. And so it's just like that piece just rotted, right? So hopefully that doesn't happen.
Where, you know, you have your one rogue, they get, you know, the tier boots 1 week. The next week they get the tier boots again and they're just useless. Nobody can.
That will definitely happen.
Week two, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, there's that. I don't know what their issue with tokens is. Tokens were great for weapons in Castle Nathria. That also papered over things like rogues needing daggers that literally no other class can get to drop. Nothing else can get daggers to drop until legacy loot rules are in place, and then warriors can get them because warriors can equip them, not really use them. So it's really silly. But we also know, and this is really, really major news, we also know that the tier set pieces are going to be personal loot that is extra beyond the regular loot that you get from the boss. So it's on basically a separate loot table. And so instead of like in Mythic right now, you get 4 pieces of loot when you kill a boss. In Mythic Sepulcher, it's going to be 8, 4 tier pieces and 4 other pieces, which is enormous for the rate of acquisition.
Yeah, it's too much. Like this is, I actually actively hate this.
On the one hand, I think this is stupid and papers over the fact that they refuse to give us master loot and refuse to give us tokens. Like they're trying to make personal loot work for things that it just doesn't. Personal loot's bad and needs to like stop being the only form of loot in the game.
Right. No, and I agree. And I think we're going to run into situations where like certain bosses, if we're getting 4 pieces of loot, we run into like what boss is it? It's like, who's the ring boss? Is that Fate Scribe? Where like every week after there's one boss in SOD, I forget what it is, but every week we get literally like 4 of the same item that no one wants and no one can trade because there's like 5 people who wanted it and they all got it very early. Right. And so like, to me, like this is going to it's a good and a bad thing. It's a great thing because, it's a bad thing because like you eventually get too much loot. I think in general, as a game, World of Warcraft provides too much options for loot across the board, right? Like between now 4 pieces of loot per boss, plus these tier sets now, plus you have like your vault, we get to target, right? 1 piece of loot a week, right? Mythic plus, things like that. I think there's in general just too much loot. And by putting so much in the raid, the idea here is that like you eventually are going to get everything you need much sooner, which sounds like a bad thing. But at the same time, it's then going to like, it's this concept of like, it's why I hate Council of Blood, I think, more than a lot of bosses, is because we literally had to kill it because one person needed a conduit, right? It wasn't that like, if it dropped like 2 pieces of loot and it was like, oh, like 5 or 6 people need this boss, it's like, great, let's go and do it. But it's like one person needs it. And I'm like, this sucks. Like it sucks that number 1, they just can't get it because everybody else got their stuff. And number 2, it's like, this boss is needed by one person and 19 other people are here killing it, right? So that's sort of the bad side of it. Is it the optics of that?
We only kill Fate Scribe right now in order to get people vault slots. It makes the numbers work to get a bunch of people their 2nd or 3rd vault slot. And so we kill it even though nobody needs anything off of it. Literally everything that drops from the boss just gets vendored.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, it's so stupid, right? Where like the amount of loot that drops there is just, it's unruly. Now, the opposite side of that is in this case, like if we have one boss that like, I don't know what the loot looks like, but maybe there's a boss in Sepulcher where like people only need like 1 class or 2 class need items off it. If those guys get all those items in the first week and we can skip the boss, like awesome, let's skip it, right? Like, and in that regard, it's great, right? That's sort of the upside, but it's sort of, I don't know. I'm a fan of like going back to like 2 pieces of loot per like 20, 25 people, right? And or 20 people, sorry. And then like that's it per boss. And you get your bonus rolls back, get master loot back, right? And like that's like the loot rate acquisition at that point.
2 is too low. 2 is too low.
2 or 3. I mean, like, Anything more than like three is just
needs to stay four, and it needs to go back to master loot, because
that's fair.
Then you actually get the big thing that's missing and that's still missing. And every time I play Final Fantasy, I'm like, this is so much better, is control. It's just control. As an example, so real quick, before we get off into venting about Final Fantasy, this is my spreadsheet calculating odds of getting different pieces of loot from before we knew how we were getting like the extra like four dedicated tier slots at Mythic. So right. This is what it would have been if you didn't have that, if they just dropped from the boss with like estimated loot tables for a 10 boss raid. So this is not actually like accurate to Sepulchre, but it's going to be pretty close. If you have nobody trading you, you would be under 20% to complete your four piece set in a month of clearing normal and heroic, all of it every week.
Yeah, which is crazy.
That's why they have to do this. This is the only way with personal loot and no tokens to get enough items out there for people to actually complete their four sets. Like the numbers on actually being able to complete your four sets in a month now with this are going to be like 90 something percent. It's going to be really, really high chance that you complete your four set in the first month. And it's just, this is a problem imposed by personal loot. This is a problem created by the fact that they have personal loot that we're going to get duplicate items that just get thrown away. And that we have no control over the loot. Like we can't be like, okay, we have this piece that dropped. We're going to give it to the person that hasn't gotten their, boot token for their tier set yet. Mm-hmm. Instead, we're going to be stuck with like, oh, the rogue got their third boot tier piece. Doesn't that feel great? Aren't you glad you got loot?
Yeah. No, and that's, I think, yeah, that's an issue because then like everybody feels bad. Like not only do like the people who wanted loot from that boss feel bad, but like the rogue in this example is also going to feel bad. Right, because they're like, I am literally taking loot from other people on my raid that can make them better or make them, you know what I mean? Yeah. And then at that point, it's going to, oh God, do we even get in the situation where it's like, we literally don't want, we can't rogue, but we can't bring you.
Tier sets already.
Yeah, like we can't bring you to this raid, even though it might drop a weapon for you. The problem is tier sets more powerful than your weapon. So we're going to sit you for this boss and like bring in people who need a tier token from it, right? Just like, which is...
Yeah.
Not so like, and to be fair, like I will, like my guild will do that as like not a very highly progressed guild, just to make sure that people get their tier sets and we have options for later bosses. Like, and it seems like it's the opposite of what Blizzard wanted personal loot to do.
Yeah.
Where you
personal loot just leads to a whole lot of unintended consequences. It just does.
We're going to get eight pieces of loot per tier set boss. That is so many items.
No, I want to actually... So
that's ridiculous.
Mention how it works in Final Fantasy, because I've been playing a bunch of Final Fantasy recently, leveling, like gearing up my monk, doing the like normal mode raids. You know how many tokens drop from every boss on normal?
I have no idea.
If nobody in the group has killed the boss yet this week, it's 8. There are 8 people in the group. There are 8 tokens that drop. And you are only allowed to win the roll on one.
Interesting.
So everybody's going to get a token from every boss. Now, there's a difference here in that most pieces require multiple tokens in order to buy the piece from the vendor.
Gotcha. Okay.
So like a chest piece requires 4 chest tokens. Gloves require 2 glove tokens. Jewelry requires a single token. Gotcha. So it's still like you're not getting a piece of loot from every single boss kill, but you're getting a token. And so then there's a second piece of it. All 8 items are up for roll. You can only win one of them, and you can pick what order you roll for them in. So if I really want that glove token because I already have one, I want to get gloves, I can hit need on that one, and maybe there's 2 glove tokens to drop, and I'll hit need on both glove tokens. And if I don't get it, then I'll start rolling on the other ones. And that gives you some extra control over what you get. It's not just randomly assigning, oh, I got a ring token, but I don't need it because I already have two rings.
Gotcha. Right? Interesting loot system.
It's different. It's still like random because I've definitely been in situations where I like lost the roll on both glove tokens and I have to take another token that I don't want. Or that I don't want as much.
Gotcha. But, are the tokens locked per boss, or can any boss drop, say, a chest token? Or is it only like the first?
I honestly don't know. I'm pretty sure it's just any boss can drop any token, at least on normal.
Gotcha.
And it's not fixed. I'm pretty sure. But it's just what really struck me is just how much better it feels having that control. Like the loot pops up and I look at it and I go, okay, I want this. And then I try and get this. It's just like personal loot feels bad.
It just feels bad. Yeah. Cause like it's the weird thing about personal loot is it reminds me, and this is probably not the right way to look at it, but as I'm thinking about this, it reminds me of LFR, where it's like you kill a boss in LFR, and then I don't know if you do this, I immediately go to like the loot log thing and I check, okay, like what other pieces drop that this alt can use. And I'm like, okay, cool, that one dropped. Whisper the person, hey, do you need that? Can we roll on this? And like I feel like it's the same thing with like the raid is like it's not, hey, did all this cool loot drop? It's like, okay, did this piece drop? And it's like, oh, it went to like, great, this like weapon I needed went to this new alt that I know can't trade it, right? Because we're like trying to soak up gear. So it's like, that's just a wasted item. So.
And I know like personal loot was designed in part to address issues with the need greed system that was the default before. Mm-hmm. But honestly, they just needed to tighten up need greed. Like it shouldn't have let hunters need on items that weren't actually good for hunters. Just
right,
need, you shouldn't have been able to press need on two-handed pole arms for hunters, for example, in WoD. You just shouldn't. Like, they may have been able to equip them, but it's just objectively wrong to give them that item. They just need to tighten that up. And that's, like, then need greed is fine.
Yeah.
You don't have to do all this personal loot stuff, which I have a project in progress to math out personal loot, but I'm pretty sure that there are ways to cheese it even well beyond what people currently do with loot stacking.
Yeah.
But like you don't have stacking. You don't have split runs with master loot. I mean, you kind of have some level of split runs, but you don't have like, oh, we're taking, you know, 28 mages and 2 tanks, or 26 mages, 2 tanks, 2 healers to this normal run to try and funnel mage loot to this one character. It just doesn't happen with master loot because you're just going to get 4 items. If you don't have somebody that can use an agility dagger in the raid, sucks to be you. Like that in itself rewards you for bringing a diverse comp so you can use all the loot you get.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Plus it just feels better to like get items through. I don't know. Maybe it's like I'm trying to think of a, put myself in shoes outside of like the way that I've raided over the years, but like particularly in raids, it's always felt better to like give out loot when I ran loot councils, right? Or like receive it based on like, hey, I did a good job, or like, hey, like I really needed this, or like it's talking to people too. Like that's the weird thing about personal loot is like, I feel like even within my guild, there's a lot there. Once they put it in place, there's a lot more like siloed conversations where it's like, we do wish lists. Like we track like what bosses we need to kill. And that's it. Where like previously, like I talk at least amongst healers about particularly like trinkets and weapons, where it'd be like, okay, like who makes sense to get this first? Like regardless of if it's a massive upgrade for us, like where should we place like certain powerful stuff like that, right? Which now with personal, it doesn't matter. It's like, hope I get like the eye trinket with leech on it this week. And like we get 4 trinkets, none of them leech. So it's like, great, just shard them all. Like they're worthless, but
yeah. There's also stuff like I brought my warrior to Terragru this week because Terragru drops a shield. And it was just like, okay, everybody set your loot specs to whatever can get a shield. You know, all the shamans go Elia, Resto, loot spec. All the warriors go prot loot spec. All the paladins go prot loot spec. And so there's like 8 people in the raid. They can get a shield to drop and trade it to me.
which is just that's what you're playing for at this point, which is, it's gross. But so, yeah, I mean, on the acquisition side, it's just, it's, it feels like, I feel like we're going to see a lot. And I think this is going to be people just complaining, but not a new issue, right? When you don't drop tokens, which is just like, you're probably gonna get gear, or no, I guess at this point, you're just going to get double. My issue is more of like, you're going to get token or getting it pieces that nobody could use in the raid, but it sounds like the bigger issue is you're going to get people who get the same piece over and over and over again. Like, and for me is like, I'm generally going to be one of two monks in my raid. Cause one of our tanks is a monk. And then I play, you know, Mistweaver. So once like both of us get gloves, if we get another glove token, actually I'm not going to wear gloves, but anyway, if we get another glove token, like it's just going to get sharded. Right. So it's going to feel great the first time, like one of us gets two, but it's going to feel awful the second time.
In a paradoxical way, this actually really rewards class stacking.
Oh yeah. Imagine, no, 100%.
Imagine if you run 20 druids, that's your raid comp, just 20 druids. That's actually like a reasonably viable tank comp or just raid comp for a guild that's not pushing like really high level CE. Like you can do that. There's a guild every tier that gets CE that's just 20 druids. And they've gotten it, I think, every tier since Legion.
Yeah.
They are going to be able to use, like, that is the optimal comp for using your tier pieces. You are going to get four druid tier pieces on every boss kill, and you are going to be able to trade those to whoever. Like, if you get a tier piece, but you've already gotten that tier piece, you get to trade it.
Yeah, next week, yeah. I mean, that's, and it almost over rewards class stacking for something like this. Yeah.
So, like,
which is crazy.
If you want to, like, if your guild is running four druids, like a resto druid and three boomkins, or a resto druid and a bear druid and two boomkins, good for them. They're going to get their tiers faster.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's, this acquisition just seems so weird. But then I guess the other point here too that came out with them now dropping to the boss now dropping tiers, that you can't complete your four set the first week. So the way that the loot drops is basically three pieces drop from three bosses, or well, two bosses before Anduin, and then Anduin drops a piece. They'll basically let you get three pieces the first week. And then Lords of Dread and Rigelon drop the last two pieces. And those are only unlocked the second week. So luckily, the Jailer does not drop a set piece.
Yep.
Which is nice. But basically, the best you can do is three of four pieces week one. So at least get your two piece potentially week one. And then, you can complete it week two at the earliest, which, we'll see if that actually happens. But it's kind of annoying. Like, I get why they want to put this stuff later, but like, it's, it really only is it's honestly, in the grand scheme of things, it's a minor issue because it affects just basically potentially really good RNG for you week one. But like, at the end of the day, it really kind of is another thing that just is awkward with the way they're doing this raid release, which, to be fair,
go ahead.
I was going to say, to me, it means like the raid really doesn't, it's like, I don't know if you ever went to like a restaurant soft launch where it's like, they don't advertise that they're open, but they like open up a couple, like maybe like a weekend or two before their grand opening, and you can like go and order food or whatever. Like, it feels like week one of this raid is like the soft launch, like, hey, get everything ready, let people mess around for a little bit. But then like week two is when like we're a real raid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I do actually like that you can't get your four set the first week. So my reasoning for that is specifically that it's going to reduce the gap between haves and have nots. Like, you're not going to have one person in raid that got a four set the first week and one person in raid that didn't get their two set. The most it can be is one person gets their two set the first week and one person doesn't. And the two sets are good, but by and large, they're not crazy. Yeah. And then the odds that you don't have your two set the second week with how they are dropping all this extra tier loot is so low. Just so low that if you're clearing heroic the first 2 weeks, everybody in your raid should have a two piece. A couple people should have a four piece without any kind of like stacking or splits or anything like that. And then if you're also clearing normal, like you're going to have your two piece the second week without a doubt. Most people are going to have at least three pieces the second
week. Yeah.
And so this is really the limit there. that you can't get your four piece the first week. I do understand how that is kind of like a really awkward kind of feels bad moment where it's like, oh, I got my three pieces of the first three jobs. I can't get anything else this week.
Yeah.
But also it means like one of the really feels bad things about domination sets is, you know, not getting your set the first week and you've got somebody in your guild that is doing 15% more damage than you because they got their set the first week.
Right. Yeah.
Because like I got blood set the first or second week. I was one of the first people on my team to get a domination set complete, which was partially because the world boss gave me the blood gem the first
week. Yeah.
But it just felt really bad. It felt so bad to like not have it. It was such like we had people that we know week three didn't have their set yet. And we're looking at other people on the team that had their set doing so much more damage than them. And we're just like, why am I even raiding? I can't compete with them. Like even a
right,
little,
yeah.
They're so far ahead of me. So this kind of variance reduction where they just, you can't get too lucky the first week. You just can't, You can't get your four set the first week is a form of variance reduction with a little bit of feels bad attached, but I feel like it's the lesser of two evils right now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess thinking about it that way, it's actually not that bad yet, because like it would definitely be a worse situation to your point, right? Just reiterating what you just said, where like, yeah, somebody in the raid gets a four piece immediately week one, and then they are like defaulted as the person you'll bring to like the later bosses, the more difficult bosses, right? Like the start of Mythic ends up being you'll stack people who have four pieces because they'll do more damage or more healing or whatever it ends up being, right? So.
Yeah,
I guess that's a to be fair, yeah, maybe they actually did a good thing here. I think now you've convinced me. I like this layout. So yeah, no, I'm a fan. Yeah, because yeah, even if you clear heroic and normal week one, sort of you have a mismatch of like two pieces right from your set there, and do the similar thing in week two. Yeah, there's a very good shot you'll have four piece or you know close to it, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
cool.
With all of this loot, I think it's super super likely that. Basically everybody in a CE guild, like the third week, basically everybody's going to have their four piece just because you clear all of normal, all of heroic for the first 3 weeks. It's so much loot that's dropping. Like you mentioned earlier, it's so much loot that's dropping.
Gotcha. Yeah. Did it? Yeah. Well, it's the one thing about this game that I just don't, people complain all the time about stuff. And like, I feel like loot should be like the last thing people complain about. Just because I think in general we just get too much of it, so
yeah.
But
I'm kind of there with you, but I also like so there's this element of randomness where, if you have a random system and you have an event that occurs infrequently, you only get loot infrequently, then the variance is higher. Like you have. A larger gap between the people who get lucky and the people that don't. And over time, that averages out. But it's not really over time. It's over the number of loot pieces that you get that it averages out. The number of boss kills that you get that it averages out. Yep. So giving more loot helps limit the variance between the people that get lucky and the people that don't. Because you can only get lucky so much before you start getting unlucky. Just on average... it pulls everything closer to the average.
Gotcha. Yeah, now, no, that's, yeah.
I don't think it's a substitute for actually giving players control over loot. I think it's a Band-Aid because they haven't given players control over loot. And I think that they could do, like you said, they could give us a lot less loot if they just gave us control over it again. If they give us tier tokens and they gave us master loot and they gave us, I don't even think bonus rolls are necessary. I think that they're kind of neat in their own way, but I don't think they're necessary.
Yeah. I mean, I think the system, like the box system or the vault system replaces bonus rolls, right? Which I think is a fine substitute, right? Because you can do the content you want.
Like, I can't bonus roll Painsmith. Like, Painsmith is one of the... I need two pieces of loot from the raid now. I need KT shoulders and I need Painsmith weapons.
Right.
And I can't go to the vault and say, okay, give me an extra shot at Painsmith loot. I mean, it's going to give me an extra shot at an item from the raid, but probably not the Painsmith weapon.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess as a substitute, right? Like, again, if you had more control over loot, how it was given out and like, you know, and that piece, right? Yeah, you're right. I don't think it doesn't substitute bonus rolls in terms of targeting specific bosses, but maybe it, or not maybe, but it does sort of give you that extra shot at some sort of item you might want to use, right? So, and maybe if they made upgrades to that system where like you could identify like, hey, I'll trade, like you could trade getting a piece of loot for increasing your chance of loot from a specific boss or zone, right? That might be something where like, if you have three, I was thinking about this the other day, but with like three item slots, typically, if you could say like, okay, I only want to get two items this week, but I want to basically use that third item that I unlocked to basically increase the chance that this raid item comes from this specific boss, right? Sort of play like a little bit of chance, like similar, like I think we talked about this maybe a while ago, with similar to like the Hearthstone like in concept. So if you're playing Battlegrounds, you can like freeze card sets to use them at a later turn. Do something similar that way. That was an option.
That'd be super nice. But we've talked a lot about loot, and we still have legendaries to get to.
Yeah. So legendary. So we can shift gears. So they along with I guess the rep vendor coming out, they also added onto this vendor the legendary item. So coming in patch 9.2, there is a new item called the core. I guess it's the Memory of Unity, or Court of Unity is the item. But Memory of Unity is a new legendary power that basically allows you to, or it unlocks the ability to always have your Covenant legendary sort of attached to you, and then you can equip a second legendary item. So it's always going to be Covenant legendary plus extra legendary of whatever you want to do. So with this rep vendor coming out and sort of stuff going on it, people noticed that both the belt, that the Court of Unity, which you can purchase or would have been unlocked access to, which is the belt with the legendary power on it, plus the actual legendary power itself, both are on the rep vendor, and both require Revered as the reputation to purchase them. So people, you know, WoWhead did a bunch of math based on like the current dailies, how much rep you get per one, and basically said it'll take about 28 days to unlock Revered with the Enlighted, which then unlocks access to these two legendaries. So people are up in arms, we'll say, not up in arms, but the community in general had a lot to say about this, and the fact that it takes 28 days to unlock this legendary and the ability to wear two legendaries, basically. So I have some very strong opinions on this. I don't know if you want to start with yours, or I can go with mine.
Let's start with yours. Okay. I feel like my strong opinions are the same as your strong opinions. So let's go with yours and we'll see what happens.
So I think the first, my first piece on this is that I don't actually think they're putting the belt on the rep vendor as sort of the final position. I think the belt actually ends up eventually getting unlocked during the campaign quest, probably much earlier than 28 days. I feel like I read that somewhere, maybe in my head I'm making this up, but it doesn't make sense from a Blizzard perspective, even from a gear perspective, to unlock both the ability to put that legendary on any item and then also buying a specific item with that power already on it. You feel like those should either be at different rep levels or at different points, right? Or given in different fashions.
One thing that this does is the rep vendor for that legendary belt is a fixed price. You're not going to have to pay 150,000 gold for a 262 belt or 282 or whatever it is belt next year in order to put your legendary on. You can just buy it for whatever, 5,000 gold from the vendor. It's going to be infinitely cheaper. So this is actually something that for players that are more casual, that aren't min-maxing their gear to the level that like having your legendary on a specific slot so you can equip the like better statted whatever pieces is a problem, because the legendary belt that you get there is crit verse. It's just like, if that's not your best stats, you're going to want to recraft it, but it does mean that you have that fixed price, so it does help mitigate this like massive economic problem that comes from the legendary system. But
I agree with
you on the whole, though. I do think that we are likely to get the belt during the campaign, and that this is going to be either a way to get it if you somehow destroy it or sell it, or just like a placeholder because they haven't finished the campaign stuff yet.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's my first piece. I think people are slightly overreacting about this. And I think the other thing too is like 28 days in the grand scheme of things is not that long, right? In terms of like,
it's too long for like, this is the double legendary patch. You're going to have people logging in on day one and going, where do I get my double legendary? And if they hear you have to grind rep in the new zone for a month, they're going to log out. They're just going to log out. They're not even going to give it a chance. Because I know that if it were me and I weren't raiding and I just logged back in, I'm like excited about getting double legendary and I want to like get that and go do some things with it. And I got told you have to go do dailies for a month. I would just log out and uninstall. I just would.
Right. Which is, so I guess my point is, which is why I think it makes sense that it's tied to the campaign and not to the vendor. Cause I agree that doing dailies for a month straight just to unlock this seems it's too much, but doing dailies for a month to unlock the ability to put this power on any slot, I think is the more interesting thing, I think is a fine sort of requirement, right?
I think that's perfectly fine. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. But that's why I think like my feelings are that in general, as a community, they see the first thing that comes out and they freak out about it. And like, if you think about this in a way that, and maybe Blizzard isn't so logical, but if you even think about this in a way of like Blizzard providing you, like the way that you would design a game, hopefully, right, is that putting this item this far back in the patch, right? And then also like releasing both the ability to put on any item plus the ability to like purchase one that already has it on it, that like in the large majority of the community is going to go to Wowhead and say like, okay, what power, like where do I want this power? What item do I want it on? They're not going to, the Court of Unity would probably not be purchased all that often, right?
Brewmasters are basically the only one that I know of that would do it because crit versus optimal and there's not a belt tier piece. So like you would just, you have to craft a new legendary for your other non-covenant legendary anyway, because you need to get the new base item for it. So you since you already have to recraft that other one, like might as well just move it to a different slot and just craft just buy the belt. Just get the belt. But Brewmaster is like the only one I know of that's like that, where crit versus are our best stats and the belt is already like a good spot for it.
Yeah. I mean, Mistweaver could do the same thing because it also dodges like the Ancient Teachings of the Monastery legendary, right? And Sinister, or I guess it is Sinister Teaching. So yeah, it'll pick up that one. So yeah.
You think it will ultimately be optimal to put it on a ring? Because then you get an optimally statted ring, which is harder to come by. And then you can just kind of have whatever on your belt.
Yeah, it would depend on what the high eye level rings are late, what drop off those final bosses. So if there's a crit heavy, a crit verse crit heavy ring or crit haste crit heavy ring, maybe it makes sense to like move it somewhere else. Cause like the other option would be like bracers, which are very generally a lower item level or lower stat level piece where you could basically put legendary or mythic level item there. And you don't lose too much, right? It's basically like the Sinister Teachings thinking today that while ring is technically better to put that legendary power on just because the item level increase, if you put it on bracers, you're not losing that much, right? But also there's mythic bracers off the first boss. So
there's also, so this tier has the Sylvanas ring, which is crit verse. So like this tier, like if you can put the Covenant Legendary next tier on a ring, the optimal play for like progression is going to be wearing Mythic Sylvanas ring with a socket plus Unity Honor ring with crit verse and a socket.
Yeah.
And then you put, you know, your storm stats or whatever on your belt, because that currently can go on the belt.
Yeah. 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 So, I mean, I think in terms of like the actual acquisition of it, like I feel like people may be jumping the gun. And so I would say that in my mind, it does not make sense that the court stays as revered as the first or only time you can purchase it. I feel like to your point, it probably makes sense. It allows you to repurchase if you destroy it. But you basically, I believe you should probably get it during the campaign. And I think,
or they should give it to you like friendly from the vendor, right?
Yeah. Or lower like it. Right. And so here's the weird thing is that, and this is sort of how I'm trying to read into it, is that Blizzard said Xerath Mortis wouldn't be required in terms of increasing your player power.
They said Cypher of the First Ones would not be required for increasing your player power. Subtle but important difference that I think a lot of people are justifiably miffed by, because they heard Cypher of the First Ones without really knowing, you know, like when we got that quote, Xerath Mortis and Cypher of the First Ones might as well have been the same thing.
Right. But now there's the rep on the side along with your... Yeah. Cypher the First One's progression.
So technically correct, which is not the best kind of correct because it still feels like bullshit. It definitely, like, I am of the opinion that you should just like get your Covenant Legendary given to you the first week. you should go do your campaign quests. You know, you get your three campaign quests for the week or whatever. You go and you do them and you finish it and it gives you the belt. That should be the extent of it. You should be done. Like if you, and then you can do the rest of the campaign quest and get more stuff, but the belt should be just given to you for free. And actually, so Max has a video out about his concerns about it. And he's actually got a really good point that I had not thought about. So one of the issues that Sanctum of Domination ran into is that a bunch of the bosses were tuned for you not having your domination sets because they just couldn't. You might get to the boss and not have them or not have very many of them. So something like Guardian of the First Ones was tuned around not having your domination sets. But then when you go in and you do have them, the boss is a complete joke. You just walk through it. Like we killed Guardian of the First Boss, Guardian of the First Ones, the seventh boss in the instance in 9 pulls, if that.
Yeah.
It's, and that also contributes to things like damage stops on Kel'Thuzad. We wouldn't have had to stop damage on Kel'Thuzad as much if the health on the boss were tuned around us having domination sets. Instead, it was tuned around us not having domination sets. And so we had to stop extremely early so that we wouldn't push it at a bad time, which the boss had other issues. But if it had been tuned with domination sets in mind and we got there with domination sets, you know, stopping for 5 seconds to make the spells line up is not as great a sin as stopping for 30 or 40 seconds to make the spells
line up. Yeah.
And so for what that means for Sepulcher is if they tune around us not having double legendary, around us not having 4-piece tier sets, then by the time that like you and me are doing these later bosses, we're going to have both of those. We're going to absolutely smash any damage check. It's going to start breaking things again.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah.
If they just give us the 2-piece, which for a lot of specs, it is the better of the two things of like 4-piece and double legendary, like giving us a double legendary is the more impactful thing for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Just give us that, tune around us having it. Then you don't have as many things break. Like maybe you don't tune around us having 4-piece, or maybe you tune like the last 3 bosses around having 4-piece because by that point, everybody should have it, except for maybe World First Raiders, but they probably will with the splits they're going to be doing. Just tune around us having it. And then the not as much stuff breaks because of crazy power spikes like domination sets.
Right. Yeah, and I think that goes even back to my point that I mentioned the MOP legendary cloak, right? Yeah. Where it was like it was given to you before you finished progression. So like, I'm on board with it being, to be fair, when we started this conversation, I was thinking like, maybe like a week 3, like with Mythic Week opening, get your legendary, your double legendary there now. But to be fair, it really doesn't matter when they give it to you as long as it's before Mythic opens, right? Because like the idea there is that you want to be able to use it in the content that's going to be difficult. And so, to Blizzard's point, give it to us early and then also tune around it. I think, that's fair.
Yeah, if it's available early and it's available deterministically, like if it's not something like Korthia getting super lucky with item drops to get your pockets, 3 days early. If it's just guaranteed to be available for everybody the first week of Mythic, if you just do your campaign quests, then great. They can just tune around us all having it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Not only that, you actually get to use the abilities, right? Because like rather like thinking not like as a developer, but more as a player, like using double legendary seems like a cool concept. And not being able to do that until like after like 2 weeks of Mythic progression seems like a weird like position, right? The other thing too, and this is something that I talked a little bit about in Discord with some folks, was if they really tied this to rep, right, unlocking this, and it was 28 days, that's 28 days without missing a set of dailies, right? Yes. So like the idea is like the moment you miss a day or you do maybe of the 3 quests, you're behind with no way to catch up, which I don't think like, in my mind, I don't care about that if the legendary is given to you in a different way. Meaning So like being behind, like just speak like, if at the end of the day, particularly for maybe monks, like for Mistweaver, right, like the optimal piece to put this legendary covenant power, this double legendary power is like ring bracers. Like if that's the optimal combo, right? I don't care if I like don't unlock the ability to move it from belt to ring on day 28 or day 32 or even like a couple weeks after that, right? Like, I think the idea is that you like that part of it was never an issue to me. I think, yeah, the idea is like as long as you're able to get the power through the campaign, the fact that it takes 28 days to unlock the ability to put it anywhere is like a fine.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, if they give us the belt through the campaign, they could make the ability, like the memory to put it on any item. Like they could put it on Giga Exalted for all I care. like it doesn't matter at that point because you're going to have it and the rest is just gravy. Like being able to put it on a specific slot is going to be gaining you like a small amount of secondary stats. It's going to be, for some classes, it's going to be less gained than just getting a gem socket.
Right. Yeah.
And for some classes, it's going to be better. For some classes, it's going to be more like getting a best in slot statted item versus a worst in slot statted item, but at the same eye level. You know, there's some variance there, but I do think that as long as they give us the belt, just give it to us for free, you know, or basically free, then they can do whatever the hell they want with the memory. The memory is just upside. We didn't even know we were getting this memory to put it on any slot until like last week. This is new. I'm sure there's people that are listening to this going, what memory? Like, I thought it was just the belt. What we were initially told is it would be on the belt. And they're adding a memory that, so you know, a legendary has like a list of slots that it can be applied to. Well, the memory of Unity can be applied to literally any slot. It's got the whole list there. So you're going to be able to recraft this on any slot that you want once you've hit revered.
Right.
But I do agree with you 100% that this needs to be given earlier. This needs to not have the belt on revered as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, I mean, it just doesn't, in my mind, it just doesn't, I don't know. Maybe it makes sense in the new way Blizzard designs things, but it just doesn't make sense like in...
It doesn't make sense from a player perspective.
Yeah, no, not at all. Like not being able to use it in like the content you'd actually use it for and need it for, right? And yeah, to your point, even from a tuning perspective, like tuning certain bosses around not having it versus having it just means like for a large majority of players, when they reach the more difficult bosses and have the item, it almost, becomes too easy, right? In those regards. So
yeah. I mean, it also plays a role in the kind of meta strategy for the raid for a lot of guilds. My guild normally starts extending on the like second to last boss of the raid. Castle Nathria, we did a little bit early. We did it on the third to last boss. We extended once we reached Sludgefist. On a typical tier, like in Nyalotha, we extended once we reached Carapace. In Eternal Palace, it was once we reached Zakuul. Yeah. You know, that's pretty typical for us. In Sanctum of Domination, we extended once we reached Paintsmith.
Yeah.
Literally halfway through the raid, we killed Soulrender once, and then we started extending. Because we had rank 3 or rank 4 domination sets, everybody had their domination sets. Yeah. We were going to smash every damage check, and we did. Guardian was a joke. Once we had everybody actually like getting into the Sylvanas phase 3 alive and actually surviving it, you know, for the most part, like we weren't wiping in phase 3 to a lack of a damage check. We had like one wipe that was a 0.5% wipe or something that if we had a little bit more gear, which we could have gotten from other places, which is neither here nor there. We had some people with low eye level pieces on that should have had them from Mythic Plus. Neither here nor there. We just like damage was not what we wiped to in Sylvanas phase 3. That was the only other damage check. Everything else we were stopping damage on.
Yeah.
We stopped damage in phase 1 of Sylvanas. We stopped damage on Kel'Thuzad repeatedly. We stopped damage on Fatescribe.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that's... Hopefully that's the way that this one plays out, right? With this concept, right? Because, yeah, I mean, we were in the same boat where, like, our extensions typically start either... We kill, like, the second to last boss once, maybe twice, and then we just start extending from there, right? Just depends. I mean, I think what we typically do is, and we didn't do it this tier, we did the same thing as you guys, started extending after we, like, on Painsmith, right? But we typically look at, okay, is there anything major that we can get through another reclear, yes or no, for like key classes that we'll use? If the answer is no, we'll just extend. If it's yes, we'll do probably one more reclear. If we get it, great. If we don't, then it's just extensions from there. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I hope the community in general is wrong about this whole requiring Revered to unlock the belt sort of situation. Yeah. Because I think if Blizzard does end up doing that, it's awful. It's just hands down a terrible implementation of unlocking second legendaries. Because like, there's no, not only is it a, and I'll sort of parrot what I talked to Onion about earlier this week about this. Like, not only is it 28 days, which is a very long time, but it's also doing very mind-numbingly boring things to get it, right? Yeah. So you think like unlocking a very significant power increase would take something significant. And while doing campaign chapters, not a significant difficulty, but there's like significant story and like pomp and circumstance around it, right? Yeah. But doing dailies for 28 days straight just to get a second legendary is like the most awful way to acquire like your next level of power, right? Yeah.
Like, which, I want to, so think back to one of the early daily zones in the game. Not the earliest, but one of the early ones in the Argent tournament.
Yeah.
Gear that, some of the gear that came from the vendors there was actually best in slot for people. There were a couple pieces that were best in slot because they had weirdo stats like Armor Pen on them.
Yeah. That
just the piece from the raid didn't have. But unlocking that and Exalted was like, you didn't need it. You could get equivalent eye level pieces, better eye level pieces from doing the rating content. It was catch up gear. It was gear to correct for you getting unlucky. It wasn't massive power spikes that you couldn't get from anywhere else. You weren't required to do it. Like if you wanted your best piece, maybe you felt required to do it. But everybody else, like you did it and you know, you got your catch up gear, whatever from it at the end, you got your gear to cover the fact that you hadn't gotten a boot in 3 months from it.
Right.
That's fine. Like being able to move your legendary by getting revered here or exalted here is fine. Having it be the only source of it is wrong.
Yeah, no, 100% agreed. 100% agreed. Yeah, so, I mean, more to come. Hopefully, we'll see maybe a little bit of an update this week on the next PTR that goes out, like, update that goes out. But yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. And to be fair, the other thing that I was thinking, too, and maybe this is one thing that plays into it, the reason maybe they pushed this early to folks was because they had Mythic testing next week, particularly for Anduin, right? Which you would assume they'd want to see what four pieces, what double legendaries look like on technically what should have probably been the final boss of this tier, but will be probably one of the major bosses coming up. So it gives them sort of more data to look at, okay, how are players going to use like these items? Maybe that's why they pushed it quickly out, right? To the PTR.
I do want to touch on one other thing just as a like another sidebar before we wrap up this episode. Sounds so good. This is another Final Fantasy sidebar. So there's this currency in Final Fantasy that you use to get basically gems. They're basically gems. There's a few different ways to get them. One of the major ways is you do what's called a hunt, which is just you go out and you kill a specific mob that's on it that is like a rare spawn that spawns somewhere in the zone. You go and hunt it down. You get this currency called Sacks of Nuts, literally. That is the English version of it. And that was the way that it worked in the previous expansion, Shadowbringers. That's what you did. In Endwalker, and this is the first time they did this, in Endwalker, the currency was the same.
Okay.
Which is as a WoW player, is just wild to me. Like, this is a game, WoW is a game, where you can't even take your previous tier of socket items and use it on the current tier.
Right, yeah.
I took my like 2,000 or whatever bits of currency from Shadowbringers and I just bought 5 max level gems.
Interesting.
The first week that I hit max level in Endwalker and the game let me. It was fine. I didn't have good gear to put it in, but I had them. And that just like, there's nothing wrong with that, honestly. Like so the number of like gem sockets I have, there's like an average of 2 pieces on all of your main slots, and then like one gem slot for all your jewelry. Uh-huh. So you need like 20 of these things
Jesus, so yeah.
Getting five wasn't too bad. If you had known and like stocked up beforehand, there's probably a cap. I don't know what it is. But if you knew and stocked up beforehand, you probably could have bought it all the first week. But yeah, it doesn't matter.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, I think historically, WoW has had the concept of like always pushing you forward. So like very much, and this to be fair, I think even started back in BC, right? When they changed from basically percentage based gear items like 2%, 3% crit to like rating, and gave them the ability to do this. And then like ever since then, it's been a constant like moving forward. But back then it was more moving forward expansion to expansion. And it seems right. Like nowadays it's like patch to patch, right? Like where like previous patch stuff no longer usable, always go to the new patch stuff.
Yeah.
Where in the past, I feel like it was more expansion was like the delineation point.
Imagine if it was just like it was just Stygia. Like we still use Stygia to buy socket items for this tier. And just Corthia just dropped a bunch of Stygia instead of like relics of the first ones or whatever. And then 9.2 is just more Stygia. And that would be fine. That would be fine. Just don't make us grind it again.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it rewards, but like the people who have played, and to be fair, it doesn't put people who may have stopped 6 months ago that far behind, right? If they had a little bit of a stockpile, they can keep doing what they're doing. They don't have to learn about a new currency, learn about a new way
honestly kind of grind it, yeah. The moment. It's like, if you stopped really doing your dailies at the end of the tier and you just had a bunch left over.
Yeah.
And you start the next tier, it's like, oh, I can buy one. That's nice.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That would be pretty interesting. So,
but yeah, I just want like that as a WoW player to me was just such a wild thing that I could use my expansion, even from the previous tier, but from the previous expansion and use it to buy current expansion things that were relevant.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's pretty nuts. Interesting. Interesting.
There. but that's going to wrap up our episode for today. Thank you all for listening and watching. We will be back here next week. I have no idea what we're going to talk about. It's going to be something related to the PTR, more than likely. Hopefully, we see some more updates to the Legendary acquisition in the next week.
Yes.
But if we do, you will find out about it here on this episode or next episode, next week, Sunday, same time. And if you enjoyed this episode and you want to support it and the other work that we do over at the Peak of Serenity, you can do that over at our Patreon at patreon.com/peakofserenity. And of course, we would encourage you to come and join our Discord, patron or not, the lounge channels. Nice. And the questions channels and the discussion channels are just a great source of information and conversation for everyone involved.
Awesome.
So, yeah, that's it for the show this week.
See ya. Bye.